Yesterday we spoke briefly about the Gemara at the end of the Perek, the last few lines where the Gemara speaks about Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Achronim. So just yesterday after Shir, I was looking in a Tshuva Sefer by one of the Rabbanim who lived in Sarajevo. I'm going to be touring there this summer. So there was in the back of all the Gemaras, we always have the Rif, and then you have the Tosefta. And the bottom of the page of the Tosefta, you always have printed an abridged edition of the commentary that's called Chasdei David. Chasdei David is by Rav David Pardo, who lived in Sarajevo. He was a rabbi in Sarajevo for a few years. So he wrote the collection of Shabbos Teshuvos also. So he has the following discussion, that a woman died about lunchtime, and her three sons were, and one of them was in the middle of a fleshed meal, and the din is that an oinen mishemesa muta lefanav is not permitted to have basa v'yayin. So the question that he had was, he started better, he started before the mother died, is he permitted to continue eating his basa v'yayin? If the person already started, does he have to stop in the middle? I was reminded of the Shaila here. We used to have a Rebbe in Yeshiva, Rabbi Parnas. So Rabbi Parnas' father lived in the neighborhood. His father was deathly sick in the hospital, and he was davening mincha in the hallway. So the father passed away. So his sister came over to him in the middle of Shema Nesra, and she said that daddy just died. So he said, in Midrash Manasri, he had a question, is he allowed to finish davening or not? So that was another Shaila. One son was in the middle of benching over lunch, and he was in the middle of one of the brachas in the benching, and then they came and they told him in the middle of the benching that the mother died, so he had a suffix, should he stop where he is in the middle of the bracha? Should he finish that bracha? Should he finish the whole benching? That was Rabbi Parnas' Shaila. I think it says in Shulchan Aruch that you finished the whole davening. I think so. Got to look it up again. The other son wanted to know that he started eating basa v'yayin b'heta. He wanted to know if he permitted to finish the meal. And the third son didn't start eating yet. The din is that Misha Mesa Mutal Lepanav is not allowed to have an elaborate meal. He shouldn't have a 10-course meal. But if he's hungry, so he's permitted to eat. But he's not permitted, the oinen, mishemes muta levanav, is not permitted to do any mitzvahs, but he's not permitted to do averus either. So he had the shaila, so we assume that he doesn't say brachas. When he eats the sandwich, he doesn't say hamaitzi. There was a minority opinion, we discussed that there was a minority opinion, and they say for kolbo, from the Rishonim, that also in the harness, but other mazeh, but like bracha, the Gemara on the first daf, on daf lamed hey. First off, in Kates of Mevarchim, it starts off as an Issa, also the Onus. So the Einan is not allowed to eat food unless he says a bracha, because not allowed to violate an Aver. So we don't follow that opinion. We hold that it's not also the Onus, but the Mazabla bracha. It's not really so. It's a mitzvah, midirabbana, to recite the bracha before you eat any food. And if you don't do the mitzvah, then you did wrong. It's also the Onus, because you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah. But Misha Mesa Muta Lefanav, he's not permitted to do mitzvahs, so he's not permitted to do averes. So we consider reciting the Brichas Anen and a mitzvah, so he should not say. There's the overwhelming majority of the Paskim hold like that. He doesn't say Brichas Anen. He's not going to bench either. So the question was, what about Ntilus Yadayim? So in Shulchan Aruch, the commentaries quote the Birke Yosef, who was a little before Rab David Pardo, about that the Mechutanim, yeah, they were Mechutanim. Of David Pardo, one of his sons married the daughter of the Birke Yosef, yeah, of the Chidah. So in Shulchan Aruch, the commentaries quote the Birke Yosef Sacharadnis, that to eat bread without washing the Tilis Adayim is an Aveira, so the Onin has to wash the Tilis Adayim. But you don't say the Bracha, you only say a Bracha and the Tilis Adayim when you're fulfilling, when you're washing your hands as a mitzvah. But here he's only washing his hands to avoid violation of an avera. Let's say a person is about to eat kosher food. He chooses to eat in a kosher restaurant. So does he say a bracha, shekedishana b'mitzvot v'tzivanu shalol lechol non-kosher food? You don't say a bracha before you're about to avoid violation of another person's going to shave with an electric shaver. He's going to avoid violation of the other shaving with a razor. So he doesn't say a bracha shekrisham tatsona not to shave with a razor. We say a bracha on the tilas yadayim before you eat bread, because we assume it's not only an avera to eat bread without washing the tilas yadayim, it's a mitzvah as well. But the einan only washes to avoid violation of the avera. He doesn't wash in order to fulfill the mitzvah. He's not allowed to observe any mitzvah. So that's the hachra that the Birki Yosef gave. So the Rav David Parda has in his tshuvas, Michtam le David, it's called. A lot of his svarim, he has his name David. The Chazdei David is the commentary on the Tosefta, then on Mishnais, he has the Shoshanim le David. When you get a big Mishnais, so they always quote on the side of the page the Shin Lamet. That's the Shoshanim le David. He always gives a pshat in the Bartanurin, pshat in the Taisis Yant. Once in a while, I'll give an original comment. That's interesting. And then he has a chumash. He has a commentary also on Pirish Rashi Avatar. So the so Rav David Parda has a tshuva about this on this shayla. Is the oinen obligated to wash until he dies before he eats? Is that an avera to eat bread without washing? Or is it, no, it's only a mitzvah. He's not allowed to perform the mitzvah. Then he has a discussion. What about washing? All the sons. Not one of them already was in the middle of benching. But the other two, the one who didn't start eating and the one who was in the middle of eating the fleshing meal, they both had the shaila. Should they wash mayim achreinim at the end of the meal? The mayim achreinim is Mishum Sakonin. So that's not the two reasons for Mayim Achreinim. That's what the Rishonim pointed out, the Rosh and the other Rishonim pointed out over here. One is that it's Mishum Sakonin. So whenever you do something Mishum Sakonin, so you don't recite a bracha. That's the question. Does one recite a bracha? In the days of the Gemara, when they used to wash Mayim Achreinim, so if the only reason for washing Mayim Achreinim is because there may be Melech Sedomis, and you may rub it into your eyes and may harm you, so then for sure you don't say bracha. But the Gemara gave another reason, an argument at the end of the Perek, Hanun Gimel Beis Kishim Shemuzuham, Posa Lavar Kach Yadayim Zahamis Psulas Lebracha. That only applies to the one as we said when we said yesterday. If you're benching Mizuman and Mizmana Gemara, only the Mizamin would say the benching. The others wouldn't say the bracha, they would just say Amen. So on the one who's reciting the Birchas Hamazon, say the Yadayim Mizuhamis Apsulus Lebracha. So maybe there, just like a kohen says a bracha before he washes Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, and according to the Rambam, everybody says a bracha before you wash Ntilus Yadayim before Shacharis, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. We don't follow the Rambam by Mincha and Ma'ariv. We only say a bracha in the morning. So there were three different explanations in Shulchan Aruch. What is the bracha Ntilus Yadayim all about when you wash in the morning, when you wake up? So many Mishanim assume you're waking up. That's why. And the Rambam held that it has nothing to do with waking up. It has to do with Shacharis Mincha Ma'ariv. Whenever you wash your hands with a cup, the word Natla means a cup in Aramaic. And you recite Al Natilas Yadayim to wash your hands with a cup before davening Shacharis Mincha and Ma'ariv. So here, if the purpose of washing Mayim Achreinim is only Mishum Sakona, so of course you don't say Bracha. But if it's you're avoiding violation of an Avera, of not causing harm to your body. You have to be careful. But if the purpose of washing Tilas Yadayim is to prepare for the Birchas Hamazon, so then there's room to negotiate whether one should say a bracha or not. So here, many Rishonim say you don't say a bracha Mayim Achreinim. Apparently, there were Rishonim who did say a bracha Mayim Achreinim. The Tosis thinks that you don't say a bracha. And that's the reason why the Gemara says in Chulin on Daf Kuf Hei on the base, that's the beginning of Perakol HaBosar, many of the Rif and the Rosh quote many of the Dinim of Netilas Yadayim here, and all the Gemaras are there in Chulin. It's really Mishnayis and Yadayim a lot, but the Gemara has a disc. We don't have Gemara, we don't have Talmud Babli on Mishnayis Yadayim, so the Gemara has all the discussion, beginning of some of the discussion, not all the discussions, beginning of Perakol HaBosar. So the Rishonim have a lashon over here, Vishamta Narash. Narash was a city in Babel, where the people were, a lot of them were gangsters and cheats and lies and liars and thieves. So they wanted to put the whole city in Chayrim. The older people, the younger people, the men, the women, everybody was no good. So the rabbis have an expression, also Gemara in the end of Chulin, towards the end of Chulin. B'shamta Narash, we should put the whole city in Narash and Chayrim. So the Rishonim views it as a melitz over here. B'shamta, anyone who says any one of the three versions of the bracha on Mayim Achreinim, whether in the Tilas Yadayim, or Mechitzas Yadayim, or Shtifas Yadayim. Nun Reishin is the name of a city in Bavel, but they use it as a melitza here, B'shamta Narash. As a Rosh HaTevis, they're opposed to the practice that some Rishonim had, yes, to say bracha Mayim Achreinim. They think, no, one should not say bracha Mayim Achreinim. But there were those who said that they do. So in that Gemara, in Chulin Daf Kufei, so the Gemara draws a contrast between Mayim Rishonim is mitzvah, Mayim Achreinim is choiva. So the Gemara means to say, Mayim Rishonim is a mitzvah, Mayim Achreinim is more obligatory, it's more chomer. Mayim Achreinim is a choiva because it's mamish and sakana. So that's at the end of the first perek in Erevin. Much of Erevin has dinim derabbanan. Shlomo Melech introduced a Ruvi Chatzeris, even though you have a wall around the whole city, or you have a building, you have an apartment building, and different people live in the different apartments. So on the level of the Raisa, the whole building is one big Rishus Hayochid, and the whole city is one big Rishus Hayochid, if you have a wall around the whole city. But Midirabban and Shlomo Melech made it Xerah, you're not allowed to carry from Reuven's house to Shimon's house, you're not allowed to carry from Reuven's house to the Chatzer that's used, shared in common by all of the tenants in the building and so on. So you need an Eruv Chatzeres. So because much of the Erevin is Dinim Derabbanan, the opening Mishnah is only Derabbanan and Atar. If you have three walls, a U-shaped mechitza, so there's no need for the Ruach Revias, no need for a fourth wall. Derabbanan, they instituted a need for a fourth wall, and then there are kulas on the fourth wall. So much of the Mesichta deals, much of the Mesichta deals with dinim derabbanan, and it says because these are dinim derabbanan, therefore they're akulas, therefore they're leniencies. In fact, the whole last perik in Chulin is sort of the Rishonim use a lashon like that. The Achrayim also have the last perik in Erevin is sort of a hadron on the first prokem in the Mesichta. The last perik says because much of the Mesichta is only derabbanan, therefore there are certain leniencies if you have a shas atchak. That there's no Erev in the city and the garbage collectors are coming and someone threw a pair of tefillin in the garbage. So what do? You're not allowed to carry it because there's no Erev, but you just leave it there. So the Mishnah says you put on a pair of, and on Shabbos, put on a pair of tefillin, you wear it and you take it home. And then the rest of the last perek is all leniency. So the whole Masichta is like that. With much of what you're dealing with in Erev is Dina Drabbanan. Many of the places you're dealing with just the Carmelis in the first place. It's only prohibited by the Rabbanon to carry. It often won't be Rishus Aram Deraisa. So because they're dealing with a lot of the Rabbanons, so therefore they leniency. So that's, there's a Mishnah at the end of the first Perek in Erevin, also gives you a leniency. So it says, the soldiers in the Jewish army, and the Israeli army, have four leniencies. Abod Dvar and Patru Bamachna. They have four kulas for the soldiers in the army. So one of the leniencies is that they don't have to do Rechitzi Sadat. You don't have to wash their hands. So the Gemara says that only because they don't have so much water available. They don't have a faucet that you can have a barrel of water and they need it to drink. They can't use the water to wash themselves at night. So Abayi says in the Gemara, Lo Shana Wa'ala Ma'im Rishonim, when the Mishnah says we're lenient and the soldiers in the army don't have to wash until the Sadaim, that goes on Ma'im Rishonim that you wash before you eat the bread. But the Ma'im Achrenim that you wash your hands after you finish eating, before you bench, that's a chayva, that's mishum sakonis. Even if you're in the army, there's no reason that you should be lenient. We want the soldiers have to be able to see, they have to shoot straight, they have to win the war. So we're not lenient on the Mayim Achreinim. So in the context of the Gemara, the end of the first perik in Erevin, and similarly in the context of the Gemara in the beginning of Kol HaBosa Daf Kufei in the base, the Gemara says, Mayim Achreinim Chayva, it's more obligatory than Mayim Rishonim. Mayim Rishonim is only a mitzvah, and if you're in the army, we relieve you, it's only with the Rabbanan, and we are lenient, you don't have to wash. Mayim Achreinim is more serious than that because it may be a sakana. But Tosfos understood on that Gemara that it's not right to say a bracha Mayim Achreinim, The reason why Mayim Achreinim is more serious than Mayim Mishenim is because of Sakana. So if it's only Mishem Sakana, then you don't say a bracha. It's not a mitzvah. It's an avera to put yourself, to put your body be Sakana, but it's not a mitzvah to do something to avoid a Sakana. So that's, Tosis thinks, some of the Balei Tosis think that that expression, Mayim Achreinim Chayva, that's a technical term that means it's something that's very serious, you have to take care of it, but it's not a mitzvah, so you don't recite a Birchas HaMitzvah. Birchas HaMitzvah is only recited if you fulfill a mitzvah. So this is what led some of the Balei Tosis to believe that when you light candles on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, a bracha is not recited, because the Gemara has such an expression in the beginning of Bet Memadlikin. It says, Shani Yoimer, the Mishnah says you can't light Erev Shabbos with an oil that smells awful. So Gemara says, what's wrong? It's got to burn well. Gemara says, no, because the people are going to not want to sit in that room. They're going to sit in the dark in the other room. Bani Yoimer, Hadlokas on Erev Shabbos, Chayva. You have to light Neiris on Erev Shabbos. It's obligatory in order that the people should see the food, that they should have the lights in the room where they're eating. So Tosfos, we by us, it's such a davar pasha, we say you bench lech. You say the bracha before you light. By us, everybody knows you bench lech. But it wasn't so pasha to the Balei Tosfos. Half of the Balei Tosfos say you don't recite a bracha on Hadlokas on Erev, even on Erev Shabbos, because Shani Yoyma, Hadlokas on Erev. Halakas aner b'Shabbos chayva, and Tosfos says that has the same connotation that it has by Mayim Achreinim. So that's what Tosfos thinks, that no bracha is recited on Mayim Achreinim. Yeah, but we do recite the bracha on Halakas aner. So we don't hold from this diuk that chayva means something you have to do, but it's not really a mitzvah, so it doesn't require a bracha. We do say a bracha on Halakas aner on Shabbos. Some have a chacham Avadi quotes that some Sephardic communities had a minig only to recite the bracha on Erev Shabbos, not on Erev Yontov. Hadlokas on Erev Yontov. We once spoke about it. Quite a difference. But the Rishonim say that B'shamta Narash, no bracha is recited on Mayim Achreinim, not Nun Reishin, not Antilas Yadayim, not Rechitzis Yadayim, and not Shtifas Yadayim. We don't recite a bracha. No. Hadlokas on Erev on Shabbos, we do recite a bracha. Shabbos Yontov, we do recite a bracha.
And the same thing, because the hands are sticky.
It's not proper, yeah. Yeah. But like the Rambam says, when you're washing hands for davening, you do say a bracha, like the similar to the Kohanim doing Kiddush Yadayim Raglan. They wash their hands and their feet in Beis Hamikdash to prepare for Hakrovas HaKorbanos, and then they do say a bracha. So maybe here one should say, and just like the Rambam says, you do say a bracha when you wash for Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. So maybe one should wash, maybe one should recite a bracha when he washes Mayim Achreinim. Our practice is we don't. Tosfos all over says that you don't. So we follow the Balei Tosfos. But there were those who did recite a bracha on Mayim Achreinim.
But the Rambam says that even if it's not, your hands are not sticky.
Right.
Right.
Yep. Yes. Okay, yesterday we went through the machlokes beisilva lebeishamai, a complicated machlokes, where the one should wash until he's dying before he does mezigas hakadosh. It goes on the weekday, doesn't go. The Rashi insists, goes on the weekday, doesn't go. Some Rishonim say it goes on Shabbos, where they wash until he's dying before Kiddush or after Kiddush. But Rashi says from the Gemara, you see, it goes bechol, has nothing to do with before Kiddush, after Kiddush. That's totally a minhagim. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the both minhagim on Shabbos, whether you wash until it's done before or not. Yeah, why should one be allowed? The Gemara says that more correct is take it from the Tilos Yadayim Suda. Anun Beis Anun Beis, about 8 lines from the top. Take it from the Tilos Yadayim. You should wash until it's done immediately before you're about to say Hamotzi. Take it. Tosfos even is of the opinion, Shulchan Aruch, they quote Tosfos' opinion, that if you're going to wash until it's a diamond, walk 22 amos away, so then you have a problem. A lot of times at the weddings, the place where you wash until it's a diamond is all the way over there, and it's a gigantic wedding hall, and you're going to sit all the way to the other end. you're going to walk way more than 22 amas. So that's why a lot of times they have chalet by the washing station, so that the people should be able to say amotze without walking 22 amas. Why the 22? What's the gematria? Why 22 amas? So that's based on Tosfos has this. You have to have some amount of time you do allow. The fellow's going to wash in the kitchen, he's going to sit down and eat in the dining room. So he's going to walk a little bit. So why did they think that for sure 22 amas is okay? Because the Gemara has such an expression, take it l'smicha shchita. When you bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, the person has to lean on the carbon, and then they do the shchita. So that, let's say if he's not a Kohen, so he can only enter, I think, into the first 11 amas into the Azar. And then the place where they shecht the karbonis, they had tabos. They had big things on the floor, like a pen. Like today, they have a pen to hold the animal down. That's how Rashi says that these big, the Mishnah said there were 24 tabos. They had the last Mishnah in Sukkot. Says that there were 24 mishmaris, and there were 24 tabos to hold the animals down. So Rashi learns that these were on the floor. They had the animal lie on its back. The Rambam learns that the tabos were on the wall, and they had the animals hanging alive sideways, and they would shecht them across. Doesn't make a difference. So the Tosfos says the location where the people can stand in order to do the smicha was in the first 11 amas in the Azan. The location where they're going to shecht it is 22 amas away. So Tosfos said, you see that up until 22 amas, that distance, the amount of time that it takes to walk the 22 amas, that's okay. That's not a violation of taking. So the same is by Netilas Yadayim. If you're gonna spend less than that amount of time, gonna walk less than 22 amas, that's not, maybe it's even good more than 22 amas, but at least 22 amas. That for sure is acceptable. A lot of Achronim are not happy with the Tosfos. Well, I said there's 22 amas. Where did they get such a shear from? So the Achronim think that if it's in the same room, it's called take. If it's in a different room, then it's not called. The Beis HaMikdash, the Azara, was one big room. So if the men, if the Israelim, the non-Kohanim, stand in the first 11 amas of the Azara, even if they're going to walk further away, it's all in the same room, so that's not a violation of take. If you're going to wash outside of the ballroom, and then you got to go into the ballroom, even if it's, there's some Achronim, so even if it's less than 22 amas, they think that would be a violation of Tekev. They think Tekev means it should be in the same room. You should wash until it's a dime in the same room and you're going to say Hamotzi. So what do you do if you're at a wedding and they wash over there? So the Achronim say you're not finished with the Netilas Yadayim until you dry your hands. That's the Gemara in the beginning of Soita. The Gemara says if a person washes Netilas Yadayim and he doesn't dry his hands, so it's Kilo Eich Alechem Tamei. That's not right. So we assume that the niguv hayadayim, drying off the hands, is the gemara of the mitzvah of netilas yadayim. So you say you can wash in the other room, but you shouldn't dry your hands completely. Start drying your hands and walk towards your seat. So once you'll be, okay, you keep on drying your hands, even if your hands are dry, but if you keep on rubbing with the paper, or Europeans used to do what it says in the Mishnah Berurah. Those who learned in the European yeshivas, they follow what is said in Mishnah Berurah, even if you threw away the paper to dry your hands. But if you keep on rubbing your hands together, so you'll be drying your hands a little more. There's a slight bit of moisture. Keep rubbing the hands together, so they'll get even drier. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes Achronim, who recommend like that. If you're going to have to walk a long distance, so then keep on rubbing your hands together, keep on drying your hands with the paper. So by the time you finish drying your hands, you'll be sitting by your seat, or within 22 amas of your seat. So you won't even violate what Tosfos says. So that was one of the considerations that the Gemara says over here. There should be a din at Tekef and Netilas Yadayim Suda. The Gemara that had it earlier was about Mayim Achronim, Tekef and Netilas Yadayim Broche. You shouldn't be mapsik in between Mayim Achronim and Birchas Hamazon. And here the Gemara has it. Rabbi Kivega there said that it's a Zohar, that it applies to Mayim Rishonim. And then the later Achronim say, it's a Gemara. Here, take it until the time, Suda. So the question is, how come on Shabbos many have the practice that they wash until the Siddhaim before Kiddush? And the answer is, since the Gemara has a Machlekes in the last Perakim Sochim, is it required that Kiddush has to be B'mokim Suda? Can you say Kiddush in one location and then eat in another location? So it's a Machlekes. So the sock that we accept, La Locha, is that Ein Kiddush Ela B'mokim Suda. The Gemara tells the story that they washed the and they, the people recited Kiddush. They were going to eat in that location, and then the candles blew out. So the there was a wind, and the candles went out. So they're not going to sit and eat in the dark. So they walked to a different location, and they ate in the other place. So the Gemara said they had to repeat Kiddush, because since when they recited Kiddush, they planned to eat in that location, and the candles went out. So they had to go somewhere else. So far, far. So they weren't Yotzei the Kiddush. They had to say again. So that's what we say. Since Ein Kiddush Ela B'Makom Suder, so we consider the Kiddush as if it's part of the meal. So it's not really a hefsek in between the Kiddush, and it's not really a hefsek in between the Netilas Adayim and the Hamotzi. But since Ein Kiddush Ela B'Makom Suder, you need the Kiddush. Let it be because they're the Suder Shabbos. That's not considered a hefsek. So that's why Me'ikar Adin, many have the practice that they wash before Kiddush. There are more rites, and Krakow, that was the Kiddush. That was the practice, that they used to wash before Kiddush. In different communities in Germany, they have a meaning that they only wash before Kiddush on Friday night, and on Shabbos morning, they don't wash before Kiddush. So that's based on the Ravid's opinion. The Ravid on the side of the Rambam thinks that Ein Kiddush Ela B'Makom Suder only applies Friday night. It doesn't apply on Shabbos morning. Shabbos morning, the Ravid thinks you're permitted to eat before Kiddush. You're permitted to eat before Kiddush. You can't really say that the Kiddush is part of the meal. You were allowed to eat before the Kiddush also. So on Friday night, where that's the din, you can't eat before Kiddush, and the Kiddush has to be B'Makom Suder. So then they didn't consider it a hefsek, so they would wash before Kiddush. On Shabbos morning, now.
The Rabbi was allowed to eat Suder's Kevah before Kiddush.
Shabbos morning. He says the din you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush or before Havdalah. That's before the Kiddush at the beginning of Shabbos. The Rashbam says there in the end of Arbit Psachim that the purpose of, you already said Kiddush B'Tfilah. So why did he institute Kiddush and Ayayin? And you already said Atach and Antonu. He said Havdalah B'Tfilah. So what do you gain by repeating Havdalah Alakos? So that's Kedel Havdalah Ben Achilush Al Mitzvah Al Achilush Al Rishus. Anything you eat on Shabbos is achilus al mitzvah, karas on the Shabbos owning, and whatever you eat on the weekdays, that's only achilus or rishus. So that's only the Kiddush on Friday night. You shouldn't eat before Kiddush, because the Kiddush alakos is kedel havdol man achilus or rishus. So if you eat before, that's achilus mitzvah, and you didn't do the havdol. You shouldn't eat before havdolah in order to be mild. But Shabbos morning, you already said Kiddush. You already said Kiddush on Friday night. So we're not sure exactly what the role of the Kiddush is according to the Ravid on Shabbos morning. But it's not l'havdol ben achilush ha-mitzvah l'achilush ha-rishus. So that's why based on that Ravid, so some communities in Germany had such a practice. They would only wash before Kiddush on Friday night, and on Shabbos morning they wouldn't. So the Mishnah quoted this. So Rashi says, this machlekes b'sham b'sil goes on the weekdays, doesn't go on Shabbos. Not a machlekes, whether you wash until the night before Kiddush or not. So on the weekdays, do you wash until the night before you do a mezigas hakos? You used to drink wine in the middle of the meal, on the weekdays also. And the wine was too strong. There was even an opinion that you don't say bar piagav unless you did mezigah. We don't accept that opinion. But most of the people would do mezigah, so the wine would taste better. B'zmanazen, sen shulchan, we don't do mezigah. Because ayenu shalon, I'm not so chazokin. The wine is not so strong to begin with. So we don't need the mezige. We drink. Oh, it's already mazuk, whatever it is. It's already mazuk. So we don't do additional mezige. So the machlek is b'sham esel was. B'sham esel, you have to wash until it's yadayim. You're not holding by eating the bread yet. You wash until it's yadayim before you do the mezige sakais. And then you're going to say hamotzi led. This will argue. And then they say, Dover Acher, another reason why Bishama is wrong, because take up Netilas Adayim Suda. More correct is that you shouldn't be mafsik in between the Netilas Adayim and Hamotzi, so you should postpone the Netilas Adayim till after the Mezigas Hakais. That was brought up by the Beis Hillel disagreement with Bishama. Then the Gemara says, Bishama, I also agree that there's such a requirement, take up Netilas Adayim Suda, but they hold Ho'adifa. So machleket, there are different competing considerations here. So the machleket is b'sham esel, which consideration is weighs more than the other, which is more important than the other. But b'sham, I also agree that there should be a din take of Matilas and Adayim Suda. He mentioned that Nadi Behuda in his drushes, complains about the fact that when the people wash until it's a dime, so the people are washing, they're talking the whole time. And then when they decide they've done enough talking, so then they say the bracha on until it's a dime, and they dry their hands. Then they don't say a peep. They don't say a word till they say hamotzi. So he says, strictly speaking, you're allowed to talk a little bit. All right, it's nice if you don't talk at all, but he says, you're not supposed to have a hesach hadas in between the tilus yadayim and hamoitzi. But if somebody asks you a question, to give a manus to lap against it, yes, no, please, to give a slight answer, strictly speaking, is probably mutter. He says, nice if you don't talk at all, but it's not really a din of hefsek. It's a din take. It means a din of you shouldn't have hesach hadas. But more important than that is not to talk in between the mitzvah and the bracha on the tilus yadayim, because by right you should really recite the bracha. The Gemara says, "Msachim kol hamitzvos kulam mivarech aleihem." Why v'lasi yasam? You should always recite the bracha before you do the mitzvah. So the bracha on the tilus yadayim should really be recited before you start to wash your hands. Our practice, many have the practice like the Balei HaTesis. The Balei HaTesis started a minig that they said the bracha on the tilus yadayim after they already washed their hands. Why? Because they're afraid sometimes the hands will be dirty before they just touch their shoes or whatever. And it's not proper to say a bracha, so they're afraid that the person may not remember that it's not proper to say a bracha in his present condition. And so they made a minig that you don't say the bracha before, but the bracha is supposed to be over lasi yasam. So they said it's a little bit over lasi yasam, because if you're going to eat the bread without drying your hands, so that's ki lo echa lechem tameh. The quote I gemar at the beginning of Saitan Dafei. So they say, therefore, the niguv is the gemar of the mitzvah of Netilas Adar. We assume the niguv is the gemar of the tefillah and the mikvah also. When a person is tovel in the mikvah, it's also a gemar. That's what is the Mishnah in Yuma. It says the Kohen Gadol goes to mikvah five times on Yom Kippur. Each time he's about to put on big dekuna, he goes to mikvah again. So each time it says olam in his topic, says he was tovel in the mikvah, and then he goes out and he dries off. So why does the Mishnah have to say olam in his topic, he dries off? Your mother tells you dry off that you don't catch a cold in the winter time. So why does the Mishnah have to say that he dries off? So the Birkei Yosef quotes the Achrayim say, because the droplets of water will constitute a chatzitze in between the big dekuhuna and the body of the kohen. So he has to dry off his body, not only that he shouldn't catch a cold, he has to dry off his body, that there shouldn't be a chatzitza. So the Birkei Yosef mentions this with respect to people who go to mikveh in the morning before they daven all week long. They better dry their hair off, because when they're going to put on the tefillin, shal yad, or tefillin shal rosh, if they're going to have droplets of water in between their hair and the tefillin, the droplets of water may be a chatzitza. I think the Mishnah Melech says, all of this topic is because of chatzitza. So the Birkei Yosef says, therefore, when those who go to mikvah before davening should be careful to dry their body, not to have a chatzitza. So the later, the Mikdash David, he was killed by the Nazis in the war. So he quotes the Kasha. How can you say that? That's the reason why it says, all of Menestapeg. There's a Mishnah in Parah that has also like that, that the Kohen who serves as a Parah, who does not wear big dekuna, it says also, he's toivel in the mikveh, and it says olam in the stapik. So you can't say the stapik is because of chatzitza. The fellow's not wearing big dekuna at all. So why does it say the stapik? Just an etz toivel. He should dry off. He shouldn't get his clothing all sopping wet. So the big dash dovi gives a different suggestion. He says that in Mishnais and Chagiga, there's a chumrim in the rabbonim. And atar, if you're toivel, b'li kavana, it's also good. Let's say a person falls into a river, and his clothing is very loose. He doesn't have any tight clothing, so there's no chatzitzas on his body. So strictly speaking, a woman falls into a river, and the river is kosher and mikveh. So the Gemara says, a machlekes, so she had to go to mikveh. At that time of the month, she's supposed to go to mikveh, and she fell into the river. So it's a machlekes in the Gemara. We pass them that tefillah does not need kavanah. So machlek is whether shechita needs kavanah, whether tefillah needs kavanah. So we paskin neither needs kavanah. Shechita you have to have, maybe you have to have kavanah. If a person is sitting with a knife on his lap and he's sleeping and he wakes up and he gets up and the knife falls down. So that's a discussion in the Rashbam, in Toras Habayis. Is that called Koya Gabra or not? It could be that that's not good. But he doesn't have to have Kavana for Shechita. Let's say he takes a knife and he throws it to hit a target, and then it just happens that a bird happened to be flying by, and it did a perfect Shechita on the bird. It's highly improbable. But the Gemara says if it happens, it'll be a kosher Shechita. So you don't have to have Kavana to hit the bird. You don't have to have Kavana to do the Shechita. As long as, because you need Koyach Gabra, so maybe that'll be a lack of Koyach Gabra. By Tefillah and Mikveh, there's no need for Koyach Gabra either. You don't need Kavana, you don't need Koyach Gabra. So even if a person fell into the Mikveh, the woman would be Materis Labayla, because Chulin does need Kavana. But the Mishnah has no Chagiga, that if you want to eat the Truma or Kotchim, or you want to be Isaac and Bar Aduma, so there the Tefillah does need Kavana. So is it necessary to have the Kavana Oivel Asiyasam? So the Gemara says there, even if the person was toivel on the mikveh, thinking he's going to eat chulin, and then after he got out of the mikveh, before he dries himself off, he has in mind he wants this tefillah to count for eating truma, kachim, but to be osik and paradum is also good, because we consider it as if the tefillah is not completed till he does the nistapik. But that's what the Mikdash Dabi suggests. Maybe the reason why it says all of the nistapik, because the drying yourself off with the towel after the tefillah and mikveh was considered the gemar of the tefillah, and you could even have the kavana after you were toivel.
It says in the Parah 11. Oh, yeah?
I don't remember. Okay, gotta look it up. I have to look on the Mikdash David. I think he quoted this Kasha. Gotta check into it. Okay.
The bracha, and you go to the mikveh, it's taken until after he dried out. If we go like with the hands washing.
Just like by washing, Tosfos says it's over lasiyasim because you're not finished with the netilas yadayim. Till you dry your hands, so according to this, you're not finished with the tefillah and the mikveh till after you dry yourself off. Yeah, till after you dry yourself off. So that was the practice of the Balei HaTosfos. They developed a minhag that they said the bracha l'achar asiyos. So the Nadi Yehuda writes in his collection of the drushes that it's not right to talk in between the tefillah yadayim and reciting of the bracha. And he says, if a person did talk, some people say psuk m'siyadech and kodesh, shirat malas, whatever they say, or they carry on conversations with other people until they say the bracha. So he said, the netilas yadayim is good without the bracha. The bracha is never mi'akiv the mitzvah. We discussed this here. Rabbi Yosef Engel had a wild suggestion based on the Gemara and the second parak in brachas, that maybe brachas are not mi'akiv only in a mitzvah deraisa. And maybe brachas mi'akiv in a mitzvah derabbanan. Yeah, but that was a wild idea, but we don't accept like that. La'alacha, we pass until it's the dams only the Rabbanan. We say that bracha is not mi'akidiv on a mitzvah the Rabbanan. So if the person washes until it's the dam and he's carrying on a whole conversation, he's talking, then what is he going to say a bracha for? It'll be a bracha levatola. What if a person says a bracha in advance and then he talks before he puts on the tefillin? So he has to repeat the bracha. The bracha is not mitzvah to the mitzvah if he's mapsik the dibur. So if the person did the mitzvah now and he talks before he says the bracha later, also the dibur, the sicha, is mevatel et siruf. So the mitzvah was good without the bracha. So if you're going to say the bracha, be a bracha levatola. Don't say the bracha. You yotze without the bracha.
When one walks out of the mikveh and he's still drying himself off, he touches a sheretz, he's not going to become tamei? Maybe he said that the gemar mitzvah, that's when he walks out of the mikveh.
That's midirabbanan. No, on the level of the Raisa, the tefillah is finished before. On the level of Rabbanan, the netilas yadayim is not finished till you do niguv. And then the mikveh, the tefillah and mikveh is not finished. When you get to a certain halacha, when you get to kavana, it's not finished till he dries. Yeah.
The
mikveh,
certain thing came up. He quotes the Mishnah in Parah. He just says, the mission in Tambit says, Allah Mistafak by Misha Arakari.
at night, so he goes down to Beis Atila, top of Beit Lishka, and then he goes up in the morning, even though he wasn't allowed to do any avodah. He says over there, this
he's putting on his pajamas there.
Yeah, uh-huh. He says, he's not putting on any. He still says, he says, oh, that's the Kasha.
That's the Kasha, okay.
He knew what he said on the Mishnah Bar, the Kasha from there.
Because he does wear big tikkun.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, very good. Okay. So the Gemara says that this consideration that you should wash and tilis yadayim immediately before you say amotz, take them tilis yadayim, so that ben labisham and ben labisol, they both agree to this. They just argue, hey adifa, from all the competing considerations here, which one is more important? Okay. So then we're about to learn the next machlok. Next machlokes is a very detailed machlokes, also on Tuma Vitara, which is totally irrelevant bizman hazeh. Next machlokes is, in the days of the until very recently, people used to eat with their hands. They used to eat the chicken with their hands and everything, all the vegetable, everything. They didn't have spoons, they didn't have forks and knives. They used to rip everything apart with their hands. So the hands are going to get greasy. So in the days of the Tanaim, they used to have an institution of Mayim Emtzoyim. We never heard of it, but the Gemara in Daf Kufein, Chulin, in Kol Abasa talks about that. Mayim Rishonim before you start eating bread, Mayim Achronim before you're about the bench, and Mayim Emtzoyim, in between one course in the meal and the other, they would wash a Mayim Achronim. So the Gemara said, that's a Rishus. Mayim Rishonim is a mitzvah, Mayim Achronim is a chayva, Mayim Emtzoyim is a Rishus. So here, in the days of the Tanoim, in the middle of the meal, they would wash Mayim Emtzoyim, and then they would have a towel that they would wipe their hands on. So we have towels that absorb water. Make sense? Apparently in the days of the time they had towels that didn't absorb water. So you would wipe your hands off on the towel, so the towel would have droplets of water sitting on the towel. By us, the droplets of water get absorbed. Once in a while you have a droplet of water on the surface of the towel, but it's very rare. So here the Gemara is assuming that you're going to have droplets of water sitting on the towel. So the question is, Mayim Emtzoyim, in the middle of the meal, so the fellow's going to wash after he finished the fish, then after he finishes the spoon, his fingers are full of fish, then he's going to have the soup, and he's going to get it all over his fingers also. So each time he's going to keep on washing his hands, dries himself on the towel. Where should he put the towel? So he has the table as the shulchan, and the kesis is the thing that he's sitting on. So the chair that he's sitting on could well be that it has a tumah. If it's going to have a real tumah deraisa, then it could be mitameh him if he's going to touch it. It only has a tumah derabban. We're talking, the guy has a chair that has a tumah derabban. So the question is, does it make more sense to put the towel that is going to dry his hands off when he's going to be washing in his hands in the middle of the meal? Does it make more sense to put it on the table or to put it on the chair that he's eating on? So Bishamai have a chumri, you're not allowed to use a table that has the status of a sheni letuma, or worse, agzera mishum ochle truma. If Kohanim are going to eat truma, they're going to have the truma on the table. So by chulin, the level of tuma you have avi avos hatuma, av hatuma, when it's transmitted, it always goes down a madrega. We said yesterday the only time it doesn't go down a madrega is cherev harei kocholo. We mentioned yesterday. That's in this week's sedra. Bachalal cherev. If anybody touches bachalal cherev, whether you touch the cholol is a dead body, and the cherev is the knife with the sword with which they killed them. Reni kli mateches. That's a din of cherev harei kocholo. On the first daf in Bava Kamma, daf base on the base, Tosis has a kasha. How can the Gemara say iron clad rule that by tumah, when the tumah is transmitted, always goes down a madrega, but by cherev kechol doesn't go down a madrega? The meis avi avos hatumah, and the cherev kechol is also avi avos hatumah. If I attended a funeral and the meis avi avos anam an av hatumah, then I touch a spoon, so the spoon becomes an av hatumah. So it doesn't go down a madrega; it stays the same level. So Tosis answers on the first half of Bava Kamma, but a cherev kechol cannot make another cherev kechol. It goes down a little bit. Doesn't go down as much as it normally goes down, but it goes down a little bit to the extent that it's the first cherev can make another spoon into cherev kechol. Okay, doesn't go twice. It goes down a little bit. There's a question that in this week's Sedra. It says that if a person came in contact with a mace, so in order to, usually if a person is tameh, he's tovel in the mikveh and he becomes tahor. And if he's a zav, then he needs dafka mayon. A mikveh is not good enough, he needs dafka mayon. Chaim is a mayon. And by tomei mace, that's not enough. You have to first have sprinkled water from paraduma water, hazor shlishi shvi, and then you're able to go to the mikveh to become tahor. But first you have to have hazor shlishi shvi. So the Rashash, in the end of Nida, raises a possibility. Let's say I attended a funeral on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So Wednesday is the third day, that's Shlishi. And then 7 days later is Sunday. So I'm going to have Hazal Shlishi Shvi Wednesday and Sunday, and then I'll be able to go to Mikveh. So then but I'm still in Av HaTumah until I go to the Mikveh. I touched a metal spoon on Friday, on Shabbos. So it doesn't go, it takes on the same din that I have. So this metal spoon needs Hazor Shlishi Shvi. The metal spoon starts from day number one. When I touch the metal spoon, I say, no, Oile L'Raglo. I'm holding by the fifth day or the sixth day. So it takes over wherever I am, it takes over. So the metal spoon now only needs a hazor on Sunday. It doesn't need hazor. Doesn't need two hazors. So the Rashash raises such a possibility. I think the Mikdash David, the Gemara Nida has such a habamina. The Gemara rejects it by a boil Nida. It says if a woman is a Nida, so she's tmeah for 7 days. As a gedola or a Nida, she's tmeah for 7 days. Then it says, if someone is a boil nida, a sihi nida sa alav. So the boil nida takes over, the same thing, just like she's tameh for 7 days, he's tameh for 7 days. So what if he was a boil nida when she was on her fifth day of Shivanikim, or the fifth day of Anida? Do you say, yochel yala l'raglo? Maybe the boil nida takes over where she's holding by the fifth day, so he becomes like a boil nida the fifth day. Talmud Lamed Pasuk says, no, he starts from the beginning. He doesn't start from where she is. So the Rashash raises the possibility. You only have that pasuk that it's not oil of the ragla by the boil nida, but by the chere kachol, there's no pasuk. So maybe there it does take over from the fifth day. So if I'm not mistaken, I think the Mikdash David makes fun of this. He thinks that it's Rashash is a joke. The Shaila, I remember Rav Gifter was once saying over this topic, he was once talking about this. So he said, the question is, the fellow who attended the funeral on Monday, and then every day goes by, Tuesday, Wednesday, so Wednesday he has Hazor Shlishi, so every day the tumah is slightly less, slightly less, slightly less, till he has Hazor Shlishi, Hazor Shvi, and then he goes to the mikveh, so every day it gets less, less, less. So then, Oile L'Raglo, then Chere Rekachol, only takes over that lower level of Tumah. They say, no, he has the full level of Tumah, he's an Av HaTumah, till he's Toivel in the Mikveh. The Halacha requires, this is the procedure. He has to wait till the third day, Hazor Shlishi Shvi, you wait till the seventh day, Hazor Shvi, and then you go to the Mikveh, and then the full Tumah is there till he finishes going to the Mikveh, then all the Tumah is removed. Or they say, no, every day, because he waited another day, and Hazor Shlishi, so the level of the tumah went down. That seems to be the shaila. That's a Rav Gifter on this. That's the suffix that the Rashash raised. So the Stipler also has an essay about this. Whether is the Rashash right or is the Mikdash David right? I remember there's a Gemara in the end of Nida where the Gemara talks about Tlius by a Nida. If you have two women sleeping in the same bed, whether you can be Tayla, one can be Tayla and the other, the Gemara reads better if you hold like the Rashash. That oile l'raglo. If you hold like the Rashash, the Gemara reads much better. So shaila adin deraisa. What's the din? Yeah. Just yesterday, I saw the Chidoa's daughter was married to one of the sons of this David Pardo. So he quotes a long discussion, a long tshuva that was written by his son-in-law. He writes about his son-in-law, Avigdor Chacham. So he says, after Pesach, they all came to Shul to Daven. And they were discussing the following shaila: what will be the din if the Beis HaMikdash will be built in between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni? Will we bring Pesach Sheni or not? And what if someone was Nizgayer in between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni? And what if someone became Bar Mitzvah in between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni? That's a discussion in the Gemara. A Kotn Shehigdal and a Gersh and Nizgayer in Pesach Sheni. That's a discussion with Eresh in the Gemara. If they build a Beis HaMikdash, that's not a discussion in the Gemara, but that's the Mincha Chinuch quotes, that's a Beferish Gemara in Psochem, that we paskan halacha, that Pesach Sheni is not a calendaric day, Yud Dalet here. Pesach Sheni is a month after Hakrovas Pesach Rishon B'Tahara, Hagdei Rov HaTzibur. So if there was no Beis HaMikdash, they never bought Pesach Rishon, there is no Pesach Sheni. Nothing to discuss. That's what the first Mincha Chinuch has the same question. He writes, I'm writing about this topic of Pesach Sheni in between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, and he wonders, what's the din if they build a Beis HaMikdash in between? Will we bring Pesach Sheni or not? And then he must have written at different times. And then he quotes later the Beferish Gemara that you only bring Pesach Sheni if the Korban Pesach Rishon was brought b'tahara de'roi v'atzibur. So there's nothing to discuss, and there isn't. But then the son of the David Pardo, the Chidor quotes this in one of his sermons. He raised a new shaila. If we'll do Tchiyas HaMeisim in between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, the fellow, not only was he not Jewish, not only wasn't he Bar Mitzvah, he wasn't even alive. He was dead at the time of Pesach Rishon. So would you bring Pesach Sheni or not if they did a Tchiyas HaMeisim in between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni? And then he raises another question. The fellow went in order to bring Pesach Then he says, if everybody's tummy, can you bring the whole purpose of Pesach Sheni is if people were tummy and Pesach Rishon, so then we give him a chance to become Torah for Pesach Sheni. What if everybody's tummy, do you bring Pesach Sheni? So that's also a discussion in Tanoim. So that's the, huh? You can, I think we pass can do, but I'm not sure. I think it's a machlokes haTanoim. Can you bring Pesach Sheni b'tuma? If Rav Atzibur is tummy, you bring Pesach Rishon b'tuma.
Yeah, but,
but let's say, for some reason or another, they didn't bring Pesach Rishon. There was no Beis HaMikdash, let's say. And then they built a Beis HaMikdash and never Pesach Sheni. Nobody had a chance to become Tahar. So do you say that they bring Pesach Sheni B'tumah? And you say, no, the whole vort of Pesach Sheni is that we give you an opportunity to bring it B'tahara, but can you bring it B'tumah? Maybe Pesach Sheni is an exception to the rule. The rule usually is, any korban shezman kavua, you're allowed to be makrid b'tuma. Maybe Pesach is an exception to the rule. But that's a discussion in the Gemara. Several of the shaylas that he raised are often in Gemaras. The Chidor starts off by quoting 10 sfeikas that his son-in-law raised. Then one sfeik he raised is dead wrong. I never read the whole tshuva. I just saw the long shaila. Then one of the sfeikas he has is, it's been many years and many months since the person went to a funeral. He hasn't gone to a funeral in a long time. So does he have to wait 4 days in between Hazor, Shlishi, and Shvi? Or to say, no, it's already many weeks after he went to the funeral. So you can have the both Hazors today. Hazor, Shlishi doesn't mean, let's say, if a person went to attended a funeral a month ago. So you can't have the Hazor, Shlishi before the third day. You can have it any time after. That's Hazor, Shlishi. So do you say you do a second Hazor on the same day, and that's Hazor Shvi, or do you have to have 4 days in between? So that's elementary. You have to have 4 days in between. Even if you have 5 days in between, if you have 2 minutes, if you have 5 days, that's Machlek is the Ramam and the Raibit, two Girsis in the Gemara, whether it's acceptable. But you can't have both on the same day. That's for sure not good. But that I was reading about yesterday. The Chidor quotes all of these fakers from his son-in-law, who is the son of this, Rav David Pardo. And he says, his son-in-law wrote a long tshuva to be mevarer all of the issues. Nachamol. So over here, this is for sure, you're not allowed to use a table. A table is a kli. So a kli, odd mekelim zon mekabel tumah from an av hatumah. If it's mekabel tumah from an av hatumah, so it becomes a rishon l'tumah. A table can't be a sheni l'tumah. How did it become sheni l'tumah? Mekabel tumah from a rishon l'tumah. Or the Arishan Tum is a Tolda. So by definition, it can't be. On the level of Rabbanan, it can be. Rashi on the bottom of Amar Alam said, they made a gzera that the Mashkim Atchila midirabanan, and they can imitame kelim, because sometimes you have a mashke. Mayonis azab roka zavam emiraglov is an apatum mikimimitame kelim. So they made a chumra that the mashkim are also mitame. So if you have a shulchan where the shulchan is a sheni l'tuma, so for sure you're not allowed to eat truma on the shulchan. By chulin, the lowest the level of tuma can be, by ochla makelim, the lowest it can be is sheni. It doesn't go ein sheni osa shlishi b'chulin, the Gemara had. But in truma, it is osa shlishi, and kochim it goes till revi, and paraduma goes till chamishi. So that you're not allowed to use a shulchan that's a sheni. Shulchan sheni is only on the level of Rabbana, on the level of the Raisa, it doesn't exist. You can't use a shulchan that's a sheni to eat truma on it. That's a double posha, everybody agrees to that. The question is, does it make sense to say that a gzera otu ochle truma, even I'm not a kohen, so I never eat truma. So I'm not allowed, also I'm not allowed to eat my food on the table. I'm eating chulin. Chulin, there's no problem. There is no shlishi l'tumah. So I'm not allowed to eat bread on a table that's a sheni because the table is going to be mitami. A table can't be mitami the food. The food is chulin, it's not truma. So the shamai know that, but they made a gzere. How does the Gemara say? B'shamai sabri osa d'shtameh b'shulchan sheni. You're not allowed to eat chulin on a table that's a sheni. Gzere mishum achlei truma. So they say, come on, you're making a gzere because of the achlei truma. There's so many Yisraelim in the world. So you make everybody crazy because of the Kohanim. Because we're afraid if we're going to eat chulin on a table that's a sheni, the Kohanim may make a mistake and they're going to eat truma on a table that's a sheni. Sheni is also shlishi b'truma. So they still say, come on, ochle truma, I'm more careful than most other people. They still say, muta d'stamish b'shulchan sheni. Ochle truma is rizmei. Who the ochle truma Kohanim? So we usually assume Kohanim is rizmei. The Gemara has that many different places. Kohanim Zizimahim, so you don't have to make Zeris. The difficulty is, usually the Gemara has it, Kohanim Zizimahim, so Rashi writes in Psochim, Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash HaZrizim, because the Bez Nagodol is on their tail to make sure that they do everything properly. But if the Kohen is eating Truma in his own house, in Stei Boker, what has it got to do with Kohanim Zizimahim? But that's what Beis Hillel say. Kohanim HaZrizimahim, Bechle Truma HaZrizimahim, you don't have to make a gzera to them. So according to Beis Hillel, you're permitted to eat chulin on a table that's a sheni. So if you're going to wash my mem tzoyim, which we never do, we don't wash my mem tzoyim because we don't eat the meat with our hands and we don't eat the fish with our fingers. We have forks. It's not only by the Hasidim that they hold the shiraim in the hands, the cholent in the hands when they're in. The whole world ate like that until recently, as before I was born, but it wasn't so many centuries before. It's pretty recent that you eat with forks and knives and spoons and everything. Before then, everybody ate everything with their hands. So in the middle of the meal, they're going to want to wash their hands and dry their hands off on the towel. The towels apparently didn't absorb so much that there will be droplets of water on the towels. So according to Beis Hillel, that you're permitted to use a shulchan, that's a sheni. So if you're going to dry your hands and put your towel, which is going to have droplets of water on the table, so the table is a sheni, is also shlishi b'truma, so kolapoysel is a truma, matamis hamashkim lios trilo. That was the din that Rashi quoted on Amar Aleph to explain what's going on. So the droplets of water may become a rishon l'tuma if it's going to touch the table. So the shamai would, so the silo say, don't put the towel. When you wash my mem tzoyim in the middle of the meal, don't put the towel on the table. It's better put, because the droplets of water will become tameh. And then what is going to be the tragedy? And the guy's going to touch it with his hands when he's eating the food. He's going to touch it. So then that'll undo the netilah satam. That is going to be eating, that's what Rashi explained on Amar Aleph a few times. He's going to be eating the bread without the benefit of the netilah satam. The whole purpose of an Netilas Yadayim is that his hand should be tohor. So if he's going to touch mayim, that's a rishon, he's going to make the hands again into a sheni l'tumah. So just undid the whole purpose of the Netilas Yadayim. And the Shama say, no, that's not a concern, because in that we hold the gzeri, not allowed to use a table that's a sheni. So the table is going to be tohor. So it's preferable to put the thing on the table rather than to put it on the chair. Okay. Let's see again the Gemara. Tana Rabbana, the Gemara quotes a Tosefta that explains the din, the machloikis, a little more clearly than the Mishnah. Still not so clear, but it's more clear. Tana Rabbana, Bisham Yamim, the Kanech Yoda Ben Mapo, that's in the middle of the meal, Menicha Al Shulchan. They hold it's better to put it on the Shulchan. Don't put it on the Keses, on the chair where you're sitting, because the chair for sure can be a Sheni. No one holds you're not allowed to sit on a chair that's a Sheni. The keses may be a sheni letuma. It's got to be metame. If the water, if the drops of water are absorbed into the towel, so they're not in the kabel tuma. We're afraid there may be droplets of water sitting on the surface of the towel that were not absorbed. And even though the droplets are less than a shear, it's mekabel tuma and it's metame acherim. Unlike oichlim that you need a shear to be metame acherim. According to Rabbi Natan, you even need a shir min haTorah to be mekabel tumah. It's only the Rabbanan. Oichel less than a kedet says mekabel tumah. But by mashkim, it's beferish in the Gemara that even droplets of water a mekabel tumah then metamachem. Zerish and metam mashkim map and machmas hakeses. Yachsu yitamus hayadayim. Freg the Gemara. But if he's going to put the towel on the chair, aren't you concerned the chair is a sheni? The chair is going to be metame the towel. Metame keses lemapo. The Gemara says no, enkli metame kli. There is no such thing. What level of tuma is the chair? What level of tuma could the chair be? If it's a sheni, a sheni is not also shlishi bechulin. Means probably it's an avatuma. If the chair is an avatuma, that's the question. If the chair is an avatuma, so let it be metame the mapa. So the Gemara says a klal enkli metame kli. But when is enkli metame kli? If you have maga, what does Rashi say? Enkli she'eno avatuma. What does Rashi say? Enkli if it is an avatuma, then it is metame the mapa. If the kli is not an avatum, she'ena avatum is not metame kelim v'loy odom. Who yizoher shaloygu yodav bekeses and mishon ehi letum. The chair is some kind of a level of tumah. But if the chair would be an avatum, then it's metame odom kelim. But it's less than an avatum. It's a rishon, a sheni, whatever. So if it's only a rishon, a sheni, then it's not metame odom kelim. En kelim metame kelim. Then Mari asks, but the Tami Kesis Lagava, but he's sitting on the chair. So if it's a let it be Mitami him directly if he touches the chair. Gemara says the same answer. Enkli Mitami Yotam. It means if it's less than an avatuma, if the chair is less than an avatuma. So that's why Bishamay rubbed the opinion. Rather than to put the towel on the seat, you should put the towel on the table because they hold you're not allowed to use the table. That's a sheni, so the droplets of water will not be mekabel tumah from the table, because the table has to be tor. And Basila disagrees. Basila, I mean, no, you put the towel ala keses, you put it on the seat. Shema ta'im ala shulchan, zerish emitam mashkin shememapa, machmas al shulchan, the drops of water may become tummy, because Basila hold, you are permitted to use a table that's a sheni letum. Since the table is a sheni, so it could pass al truma, so call a pasal truma metamis al mashkin lias trilo. And then the drops of water, shemi yitama mashkim shebemapo, the droplets of water on the surface of the towel that were not yet absorbed, may be mekabel tumah from the shulchan. The yachsav yitama soichlim. Freg bimor with the tam shulchan leochlim shebetocho. The word shebetocho is a little strange. Shebetocho. If you leave the food on the table, isn't the shulchan metam? The answer is no. The table is only a sheni. Then sheni osu shlishi bechulim. El al dei mashkim. If there'll be mashkim. So they still will hold that you shouldn't put the towel on the table because the table may be a sheni letume. It'll cause the drops of water bien on the towel to become a rishon letume, and then the rishon will be tamid yadayim or metamid the food, and then he'll undo his netilus yadayim. My kamefligi, what's the source of the machlokes? B'shamay sari, you're not allowed to. There's a gzera derabbani. You're not allowed to use the table that's a sheni. Zera otu ochle truma. Ochle truma for sure not allowed to use a table that's a sheni. the truma will become pasul if it touches the table. Mesila hold no, kohanim zisimim. You don't have to worry about that. The Gemara has another reason that both concerned about each other's considerations, but the question is, which is adifa, the same as before? Which consideration is more important? So the Beis Hillel argue, they say the whole institution of the Tilus Yadayim for Chulin is only an invention mid Rabbanan, ein lo ikam in HaTorah, as opposed to Tamid Diko Eichlem, the Yesh lo ikam in HaTorah. There is a din on the level of the Raisa that Eichlem Temeim, if it's Truma, you're not allowed to eat it. So the Beis Hillel think that that's this consideration. The more important, the Rambam hold that consideration is more important. Okay. To us, it's so foreign, the whole topic, because everybody's tummy. We don't have anybody eating any truma. We don't have everybody's tummy. So this, they lived at a time, they lived as manabayas, and they were very careful about truma v'tar. The Gemara has in the first perik in Nida, the chavraya medakin b'galila, in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, the chaverim, the tamir chachamim, used to have hazos shlishi shvi, even if for the churban b'yasheni. They still had Eifa Pora, they had Pora Aduma water. They never made another Pora Aduma after the Churban Abba, but they still had left over till the days of the Amoraim. Till the days of the Amoraim in the Galilee and Eretz Yisrael. In Babel, everybody's Tuma anyway, Tumas Eretz Amin. But in Eretz Yisrael, they used to be the Chaverim, used to eat Truma. They used to have Hazal Shlishi Shvi to become Tohar. So these dinim are still relevant, even in the days of the Amoraim. Then the next machlokes is, it starts off with the machlokes b'shamei b'silo. The main machlokes is not mentioned in the Mishnah. That's what the Gemara fills in the information. Like over here, the main machlokes was, are you allowed to use a shulchan that's a sheni l'tumah? So that's the premise of the whole machlokes. So here also, the main machlokes and the next machlokes also not mentioned. Namely, are you permitted to use a shamis, a waiter, who's not learned, who's an Amharitz. So the Shammai say it's permissible to use a butler to serve you who's not so learned. So there is a din of baltashchis, let's say you left over some food on the table. So what you leave over, let's say you're eating the chicken on the bone, there's a little bit of chicken left on the bone. So it's a nisa baltashchis, you have to eat every mashal. So if there's less than a kazayas of food, so the Gemara, there's no baltashchis. But let's say you have a big challah and you ate a little bit here, a little bit there, and you have little crumbs on the table. No one crumb has the size of a kazayas. So the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yechanan that that's not a nisa baltashchis pirurim. Shein behem kazayas muta la'abdan biyad. There's no prohibition of baltashchis. So basically, it'll hold that you're not allowed to use, you're not allowed to have a butler in your employ who's not learned. So they say the waiter, the butler who's serving the meal and taking away the plates and so on, taking care of your meal, he has to, by definition, he has to be a learned person. And the learned person, he's going to know to take away before they're about to bench, they're going to wash mayim achronim. So he's going to take away the pirurim, the pieces of challah that have bigger than a kazayas, going to put them, wrap them up and put them in the freezer or something to save it for another meal. Because there's an isa bal tashchis, or feed it to the birds, I don't know. There's an isa to give maichol odom to behemoth, unless it's not roi l'achilas odom. Let's say you save the bread so long, it's already hard like a rock and stale. So no one wants to eat it. So nobody wants to eat it, so there's no avera to feed it to the birds. But normally you shouldn't feed it to the birds. Also baltashkes. So if you hold like Beis Hillel, that you're not permitted to use a waiter who's not learned, so then you don't have to be concerned that when you're going to wash my machronim on the table, the water is going to mess up all of the pirurim, all the crumbs of bread. And then they're going to take the whole tablecloth and wrap the whole thing up and throw the whole thing in the garbage, probably a paper tablecloth or something like the disposable tablecloth. So it's not a problem of baltashkes because the waiter is going to knows the din. The waiter is learned, so he's going to take away all the pirurim that are kazayas. So they hold that notam la yadayim. You wash mayim achreinim before you're about to bench, and then you take together everything on all the disposable plates and all the leftovers, and you throw it in the garbage, because you know that before you're going to wash mayim achreinim, your learned waiter is going to remove all the pirum sheish b'hem kazayis. But Beis Shammai, on the other hand, disagree. They say, Shamash Amoritz. You are permitted to have a waiter, a butler in the house who is not so learned. So he's not going to know to remove those pieces of challah that have more than a kazayas. So then Beis Shammai L'shita Sam would insist that Mechabin HaMesabayis Chakach not Maidan. It's your responsibility before you wash. You're a learned person. The Mishnayis is talking to you. You know how to read Mishnayis. So you're a learned individual. So you have to remove all of the pirun to have a kazayis before you wash Mayim Achareinim. Otherwise, you'll be in violation of all Bal Tashchis on the pirun.
The food, you have to keep some bread on the table. Does that have
if we have one,
the bench, you need to have some bread there.
Yeah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin has an old minig, a very old minig, that you leave a little bread on the table.
We follow that.
Yeah.
And so that has to be, according to this, less than a kazayis?
No, by us, we're not going to spill the Mayim Achareinim on the table. It's not going to go on the bread. We hold the bread in a separate place. So we're not going to put. Here they're pouring the Mayim Achareinim on the table and they're throwing out the whole thing. Yeah, the Mayim Achareinim is on the food that's left over, so it's going to mess up all the leftover bread. But we're careful to keep the bread in a different location. But Yossi, the whole issue doesn't come.
The collection of the perurim into, if they would be in total kazayis, that doesn't matter.
It seems that not. It seems that it depends each crumb on its own. If the crumb is smaller than a kazayis, then it sounds that there's no bal tashchis. That's what it looks like. Okay, we didn't do three blot in the middle of Haroe about the Chaloimus, so we'll discuss a little bit. So the Gemara has a Nun Hei on the days, an institution of Hatavas Chalom. It's printed in the Siddur, Hatavas Chalom. It's usually next to Hatoras Nedarim. Rabbi Soloveitchik and Erev Rosh Hashanah used to do Hataras Nedarim. He didn't say the text that appears in the printed Siddur. He used to say in English, I have a minik toiv that I stand for Chazaras Hashatz and for Kriyas HaTorah, and I'm getting old and I don't know if I'll be able to, so I want to have Hataras Nedarim. I don't want to have Charot that I had observed the minik toiv. It's a good minik. I have Charot, I didn't say Belineret. That's what he used to say every year on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So he said that once he said in that Rosh Hashanah, so he had the bezin of three, the Huamata Neder, one of them was a European. So the European says, oh, that's what it's all about. He always participated in Hataras Nedarim, and they always said it in Hebrew, so he never understood one word, didn't know what it was all about. He thought it had to do with bad dreams. Because in the Siddur, it's one page after the other. You have Hataras Chalom. So the guy who always participated in Hataras, I never knew what he was doing. That's not a valid Hataras Nedarim. So the Gemara says there's such an institution of Hatavas Chalom. If a person has a bad dream and he wakes up in the morning, so he should gather together three people and he should say, I had a good dream, I had a bad dream, whatever, and make Hatavas Chalom for me. The Gemara says he should say three psukim that talk about hafocha, switching, hafachta mispedi l'machali, hafachta evlam l'sasang, you should say three psukim about peduyim, three psukim about shalom, and so on. So we have these psukim in v'yit melacha. But the Gemara has it, the days of Gemara didn't say v'yit melacha. The reciting of v'yit melacha is just to start off the week with blessings and to stall off Matzoi Shabbos, to have Tosef Shabbos, Masifim Mechol Al HaKodesh. And one of the considerations that the Masifim Mechol Al HaKodesh, according to some Rishonim, is a din. It's learned that from a pasuk to be Masifim Mechol Al HaKodesh. And some add on that not only is it a nice idea to be Masifim, but to extend Kedusha longer than the basic 24 hours, the Gemara has a tradition that the Neshamas don't suffer in Gehenna for the period of Shabbos. So if you extend Shabbos, so the Neshamas who are burning in Gehenna are spared for another couple of minutes. So we're doing them a favor. So we prolong Shabbos by saying Eid Lecha, so the souls are not suffering Gehenna for another couple of minutes. The Mishlam Malach has an essay in his in the Parashas Drachim. Shabbos in over the globe is always a different unit of time, different 24 hours. So which Shabbos did on the Shabbos free from Gehenna? Shabbos in New York, or Shabbos in Los Angeles, or Shabbos in Australia? So he quotes his Rebbe. I never heard of the name, didn't ring a bell by me. So I'm surprised she goes, he says he thinks it's Shabbos in Yerushalayim. That's the official Shabbos. So the Neshamas don't suffer in Gehenna when it's Shabbos in Yerushalayim. So why do we in New York have to be Moshe Mechol al HaKodesh? I don't know. Anyway, so when we say Yitl Chosa, we say all these three psukim. The Gimel Hafuchas, Gimel Paduyas, Gimel Shlamas. And the Gemara quotes all the various psukim. Then the Gemara says if a person has a bad dream, that's around the six wide line, the very wide lines, on Nun Hei Mei Beis. The person has a bad dream, when the Kohanim go up to Duchen, he doesn't remember what his dream means, and he's nervous, and he should say, Ribbono Shel Olam, Ani Shalach, Bachal Moshe Shalach, Halam Chalam, Tevein Adei Amahu. What's the connection with the Duchening over here? Who says that the Duchening of the Kohanim should accomplish Hatovas HaChalom? Problematic. So the Maharsha has a comment that I'm not sure what it means. The Gemara in the next daf says that there are different things that are 1/60th of something else. So the Gemara says that Shabbos is 1/60th of Olam Haba, whatever that means, and Achalayim is 1/60th of Nevuah. Achalayim is Echad Bishish in the Nevuah. There may be a mixas of the Chalom that's true, that shows what's in store for the future. So because I had a bad chalom, I may have had a bad chalom. I don't remember what chalom to ben edei ma. I don't remember what the dream was. It may have been bad for me or for others. So when the Kohanim Duchen, so the Tip Sukkim, Verechecha Yoyer Yisa, have 60 letters. So the Marsha thinks that the reason why it has 60 letters is because it's because the chalom is echad b'shisha menevuah, and the brichos kohanim. If you pay attention, by brichos kohanim, this can undo the negative effect of the nevuah that you had. Hard to understand what that means. The minig is that you usually say this: Ribbono Shel Olam, mimitin yirech Hashem, and the yishmarecha. The kohanim sing along, digging there. So the Mishnah Berurah is not happy with that. He raises the issue of shokad alik maskula. The Gemara has lechatchila. It's not right to pause in the middle of Kriya Shema, the middle of Mikra Megillah, the middle of Tkiya Shofar, to have a long pause, long enough that you could have davened Nishma Nesrei from the beginning to the end. Someone told me what happened on Friday night. It was at the end of Nishma Nesrei. He was at the end of Shalom Rav. So he had a suffix about something. So he walked over to the bookcase to look in Shulchan Aruch. And then he saw that he was Yotze B'Riyeh, but then he realized it was Shok Delik Maskula. So I told him, that's not Shok Delik Maskula. He only had two lines left to the Shemana Esri. The Gemara says Shok Delik Maskula means you paused so long you could have said the Shemana Esri from the beginning to the end. You could have said Kriya Shema with the brachos from the beginning to the end. Not that you're two lines before the end and you could have finished till the end. Shok Delik Maskula from the beginning to the end, not from the place where you happen to be. So the chatchil, it's not right to be shocked that like maskula. But yeah, but there's a question whether one gemara seems to say that even the yevid you're not yotze. So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. When is that? So some rub the opinion that Shmoneh Esrei versus everything else. Shmoneh Esrei is zayin mid lefnei hamelach. So if the God's going to shock that like maskula, so it's no longer mid lefnei hamelach. And now the rishonim say no, it's not really a difference between Shmoneh Esrei and everything else. It's a difference between why would he shok the leg maskula? Because he had to go to the bathroom. Then in the bathroom he wasn't able to daven. So that's mochomer. That shok the leg maskula is mochomer than stam. His mind was wandering and he wasn't paying attention and he wasn't davening. So that's what we're makel on that. That even Shmon Esri, if the person was shok the leg maskula, but if he just paused, he really was able to daven. He was able to daven, just that he paused for a while, like over here. The Kohanim in the middle of the Duchen say Yirech Hashem. And before they say Yishmarecha, they give everybody a chance to say this long tefillah, Chalam Chalam Tuvein Adei Amahu. This is such a long tefillah. They could have said the whole Yirech Hashem Yishmarecha, Yar Hashem Pada Velech Luchonecha. He said Hashem Barang Yasem Luchosham. They could have said the whole Duchen from the beginning to the end. So that's the lechatchila, it's not right, but the b'di'evit, you say that you were yotze. So somehow the Mishnah Berurah is only concerned because the shok that he must call in the middle of the pasuk. He recommends that you should say the Ribbon Shalom Tfila after the Yishmerecha, after the Yichunecha, after you finish the whole pasuk. I didn't understand why. How does that solve the problem? Should be shok dalik maskula. Let's say in the middle of Shmona Esrei, shok dalik maskula is a problem in between one bracha and the other. Also, not just the problem in the middle of a bracha, in between one bracha and the other. If you're in the middle of the whole Shmona Esrei and you shok dalik ma the whole Shmona Esrei from the beginning to the end, then there's no tzirup. So I don't see how the Mishnah Berurah solved the problem. So he says, if there's no clear cut minig, you should see to it that you only say the Ribbono Shel Olam after the Kohen had finished the pasuk. The minig all over is that everybody says it in the middle, before the Kohen had finished the pasuk. It means if you can get away with it, if the rabbi can convince the balabatim, all over the world the minig is that they say before the last word. I mean, if Mishnah Berurah is recommending, you should change the minig. He's not happy why they say this tefillah. Originally, the Mishnah Berurah said minig was that they said it all three times. The difference was the first time that God said, Yerushan Yishmerecha, so he would end off as Sishmereini. The second time he said, Yerushan Paramelech Vichuneko, so he would end off Usuchaneini. The third time you end off Yasem Luchal Shalom, then you would say Visirtseini. But then the Hasidim introduced a whole different tefillah. Instead of saying the tefillah that appears in the Gemara, so they got from Siddush Sidurim, that the third time you say a totally different tefillah. So you're only going to say after the first time is Sishmereini, the second time is Chaneini. You're not going to say Visiritzeini. So they introduced, they changed everything. So you say twice. You say Visishmereini is Chaneini, Visiritzeini, the first two times. And the third time you say a totally different tefillah. So the Mishnah Berurah was a misnagit. He wasn't a chosid. So he says it's not really right, even though it's printed in the city. You should ignore that. You should say the Ribbono Shel Olam all three times. And the first time you should end off Visishmereini, second time Visuchaneini, the third time Visiritzeini. We have in the text in the Gemara, that the way it's printed, that we have Sichmu Rufua, Rufoim Kememor De Moshe Rabbeinu, Chmira Mitzrat Echanama Mitzrat Echmemor De Elisha. Yeah. So it says in the Gemara, De Moshe Rabbeinu. Then we have the Yosef Hatzadik also, Chal Masav Shal Yosef Hatzadik. So back in the Gemara, they have Haoris from different Rabbanim. So they have Haoris from the rabbi from Shavuot, Rabbi Yosef Zecharia Stern. I think it's the last Haora that he has on the Masechta. So he quotes from different sources. Here it's in standard editions, on page 46 before the Rashash. Before the Maritzkayas. So on the left-hand column, he has a long essay there. So part of the essay, he quotes sources that when you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not proper to say titles for people. The practice is where you say, Kiyom Olei Rachman, so you say, I'm saying, Ruchot HaKaskaf HaShchem HaSkadoshim Termeh, Avor HaRabagon, Rosh HaYeshiva. So it's not right to give titles. No one's titles are significant in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So you should really leave out all the titles. So you shouldn't say Moshe Rabbeinu, shouldn't say Miriam Hanaviyah, shouldn't say Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda, shouldn't say Yosef HaTzadik. Don't give anybody any titles. People usually violate that. They say all the titles. So that's what he complains about. He says that when you say Kel Mal Rachman, he quotes the sources that it's not proper to say titles. The Gemara has a lot of dream interpretations here. A lot about dreams. What does this represent? What does that represent? There's one of the... They're all interesting. There's one, the wide line on Nun... The first wide line on Nun, Zayin, Omer Aleph. Amr Abzeri. Anolo, Salkin, Yibavol, Eretz Yisrael. Abzeri moved from Bavol to Eretz Yisrael until he had a dream that he saw barley in his dream. And the Gemara said before that Haraya, the less narrow line, Anun Zaynamal, Haraya Sorim Bachalom, Sorabanoisa. So if a person dreams and he dreams about the barley grains, that's a sin of an Hashemayim, that his sins have been forgiven. So this Amora had a dream, his sins were forgiven, so then he moved to Eretz Yisrael. So it would appear from the Gemara that only tzaddikim, who don't sin, have a right to move to Eretz Yisrael. The people who are full of sins should live in Eretz Yisrael. What's that all about? So the Gemara, the Midrashim has. Eretz Yisrael is referred to in the Midrashim as the Paltan Shel Melech, the palace of the king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech over Eretz Yisrael. If a person is going to be married by Malchus in front of the White House, in America it's a mitzvah. But in a normal country, it's an Avera. To be married by Malchus is an Avera. So if you're going to be married by Malchus, HaGam Lich Meshach HaMalchus, Himi Babais, in the palace, in the royal palace, you're going to be married by Malchus. So if someone is going to put a Chveis, a Russian flag in front of the White House, that's a bigger Avera, he's going to put a Russian flag in Scranton, Pennsylvania. You do it in the Paltan Shel Melech is worse. So Eretz Yisrael is all considered Paltan Shel Melech. So whoever does any Avera in Eretz Yisrael is considered as if you're married by Malchus in a more chomedic way. So people of Baal Aver, we don't recommend they should move to Eretz Yisrael, because they're going to be more of a Malchus and the Paltan Shel Melech. They may deserve a bigger Reinish. But what is this all about? What is this all about? So there's a long tshuva in Avnei Nezer, and it's in Chelek Yeredei, Chelek Beisim, Tov Nun Dalet, Tov Nun Hei, Tov Nun Vav, Tov Nun Zayin. They asked him, the Shaila, is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh? And if there is, he was a chassidus Hareb. And if there is, how come the Gdolei HaChassidus didn't move to Eretz Yisrael? So first he explains that there is a mitzvah even b'zman hazeh, and even though the Megillas Esther writes, and the mitzvah doesn't apply b'zman hazeh, he explained Megillas Esther, the commentary Megillas Esther on the side of the same mitzvah says not correct, the mitzvah doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. But then he says, the Nevi'im said, Bavela Yevav v'shama Yiyu, that the Nevi'im said before the Churban Bais Rishon, the Jews will be sent into Golos Babel, and they're going to stay there. So this didn't exempt them from the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz. There's still mechayiv to live. There's always a mitzvah to live in Eretz. So the Navi just said that, let's say it happens every so often, we hear a family move to Eretz, so it just didn't work out. So after a year too, they had to move back to America. It just doesn't work out. It doesn't always work out well. So that's what the Navi said. The Navi gave us a curse. It's just not going to work out. So that's, if a person is a sinner, so we're just afraid, the lawyer is there. It's just not going to work out. So it doesn't make sense that they should go there. So he won't have a yishuv there. It won't work out for him. But if he has a dream that his sins are forgiven, then it probably means that it will work out. That's the gist of what the Avnei Nezer says. Okay, Mazel Tov. We basically finished the whole Masechta. I was thinking, in case anyone shows up tomorrow, everyone is welcome to come. I was thinking maybe as a continuation of brachas, maybe you should learn Perik Eilin Emor. That's in Maseches Soto. And it starts off with the same topics as... where do I have Soto here? It starts off with the same topics of brachas, and it's really a Hemshech of brachas. So if people show up tomorrow, Belinare, we will start Eilin Emor. Let me see what that is. Lamed Beis Amunal. The Gemara is Saita Lamed Beis Amunal. Has about Duchening, has about different. We cite Kiddush, Abdullah, Bench. It's a continuation of Brachas. Okay. You have to throw a party. Made a scene. Good.
Yeah.
You should enjoy the grandchildren. Very good.
Shai's brother-in-law, Tachum Koyer.
Pardon me?
Shai's brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Tachum Koyer.
Tachum Koyer, yes.
He gave a talk last night at our shul.
Oh.
Very nice. Oh. He was talking about the Ramchal, a little bit of the history of the Ramchal and his life. Very interesting. Very interesting. So he made the introduction. Now, oh, you're Isaac. The whole thing.
Everybody knows you're Isaac.
I'm Shai's brother-in-law.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Just now on my phone. Okay, let's cut it out.